from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Who hooped in the Texans preseason finale win against the Los Angeles Rams 17-15? You're listening to In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula. Get involved, 713-572-4610. I know that some people will be like, well, we're talking about football, which means who hooped? And I think it's become, or at least in
it
my
translates.
Circles, it's become just a generic term. Mm-hmm. Sports neutral. The idea of hooping, you can hoop in baseball.
Hooping. We hooping. I love that term.
And I think the Texans. There were some people that definitely hooped in this game that deserve some credit. And of course, I feel like we should start with the man who, look, he hit us with the pirouettes. Had some cutbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Akers in this game hooped, John,
big time.
I thought obviously he showed. Again, what he's been showing, which is a level of vision
mm-hmm.
when he runs the football, which is necessary in this this zone blocking scheme when you're talking about running.
Yeah.
It's not a given what gap you're hitting. So you have to watch it and read and watch it like develop. Then you find the hole, you hit the hole.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I've continued to like be a little bit interested in when it comes to Cam Akers, when you're talking about Achilles, like, do they rob you of your explosion?
Yeah.
And when he has cut, I don't know that he's necessarily like had incredible explosion,
mm-hmm.
but it's been sufficient. Now, people will know he's running against seconds and thirds, stringers, and I don't know what I can do about that because D'Amico Ryans and
that's who's on the field.
They've not put him in that position to run against ones, but
yeah.
At the very least, with what he has been given, he's made the most of them.
Look, I'm glad you brought this up because there were two plays that Cam Akers made that really were the two biggest highlights of the game. The first one, I believe, was a 23-yard run, thereabouts.
And where he trucked a defender in there?
And he was right on the sideline. It was a friend of his, an old teammate. They were laughing about it later, but he trucked that dude. That was one of the highlights. But that's not the reason I feel, just to kind of add to what we're talking about at the top of the show, that's not the reason I feel that Cam Akers told me he's the dude. He should be the second team running back behind Joe Mixon. The other one was the old, what was the video game? X down, where you do the little spin move. He did three of those. You know, spin.
He sure
spin.
Did. He was spamming that B button.
And that made the highlight reel.
Or circle if you play PlayStation.
Is that what it was? I don't remember what it was. Anyway, circle down, whatever it was. That one wasn't the one that made me realize that's the dude. It was a 10-yard run in the first quarter. It was like a prototype. It was like a lesson, of how to run the outside zone read, running block. Everybody's going to the right. All the linemen take that big right step, as we've seen.
Yeah.
Try to create a lane. The whole defense goes to its left, and he's going to the right, and then boom, stops and cuts back behind the line, and I believe it was a 10-yard run. That's the one where I went, this dude needs to be the running back behind Joe Mixon. And he absolutely hooped.
Yeah, that was the exact play that I also took a note of it, and I'll read it verbatim. Woo boy, that Akers cutback might could solidify this man's spot.
That was it.
Right? Because, look, again, it's the capability that he has, and it shows and it demonstrates, again, the vision that he has and his ability to then execute on that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was later in the game, and he was in that game long, right? He was in that game all the way through, which, again, we have questions about why these guys are played in certain ways, but it's their prerogative. It's D'Amico Ryans' prerogative on how he decides to play these guys to figure out what mm-hmm. he needs to figure out, get this team ready to go. But he did the running between the tackles as well, right? It's not just mm-hmm. It's not just a, I don't know, one trick pony or a limited sample of things that he can do. He does everything to some extent, which I think is something that's good to have in one of your backup running backs, is a guy that you feel comfortable throwing out there in most any situation and being able to do that. Because one of the things that can happen, even though we're not talking about a lot of plays that a backup running back, a RB2 or 3, will end up playing in any given game, you still want to have, in the NFL, you still want to have it to where the defense is on their toes. You want to keep them guessing, because anything that you give a defense where they can now key in on what's going to happen makes it that much easier to try and shut down what's happening. You put Cam Akers in, and I don't think you know for certain what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Dameon Pierce, I think we're a little bit closer to the idea of at least a defense can look at it and go, if he's out there, we know that he's not going to kill us.
Not to kill Dameon Pierce, but there is no scenario in which I could have seen him make that cut. He would have just barreled into the line and got whatever he could. Just his running style, not ripping him. I'm just saying that play for me separated Cam Akers and Dameon Pierce. Who else hooped? You mentioned this one, and it kind of like Cam Akers played a lot, made a bunch of plays, played in every game. But
are we talking about on the defensive side?
No, offensive side.
Okay, offensive side?
Offensive side. That would be John Metchie. Yeah, John Metchie to me. I still don't know quite what to make of it. We're going to hear from D'Amico Ryans talking about this very thing shortly. But, he hooped for sure. Just not sure what it's going to mean.
Yeah, I mean, preseason was stat games, stat good performances, because we had not seen enough of those.
Yeah.
And he's done that. He's answered that call, including a nice catch on the outside on what was, I believe, a comeback.
Yeah.
And then he turns to the outside. He gives a little shimmy inside. Mm-hmm. Defender plays him inside, turns to the outside towards the sideline, and then is able to get upfield.
Yeah.
It wasn't the quickest turn, but it did it did the job. And it shows again, stacking positive plays, showing the capabilities, because it feels like for him, proof of concept of what can further develop was the name of the game. And so, and we already have reporting from Jordan Schultz that, you know, teams are reaching out. So it seems like other teams have looked at his preseason and liked it. Obviously, I feel like we could say that Texans also liked it to a certain degree. So it'll be interesting to see what he looks like. And D'Amico Ryans, as you said, we'll hear from him. He also has positive things to say about Mesh.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this one, how about this? I want to go to defense, and if you could hit me with this cut. This man was hooping in this game on Saturday.
Here's Dresser winning the gun on third down and two from the Rams 15. One back, Boston Scott. Two receivers, wide side left, stacked just inside the numbers. There's motion. Here's a handoff to Scott starting right, and he's going to be brought down short of where he needed to go by Neville Hewitt. That's a lock.
Guess who, Figgy?
Bubble wrap him. He's going to make it, as Hewitt can play linebacker, special and he's team. A special team superhero.
A linebacker from the Jets, who's a tackling machine.
Hooping.
He just does.
I mean, look, you heard in that call, right, the idea of guess who? Because his name kept popping up.
Yep.
And for good reason, man. He was making really good plays, and this is a position that we talked about all preseason long, the idea of you need to feel that depth when it comes to the linebacker, because, you know that you have Aziz, you know that you have Christian Harris. Those feel like you have those set. Toe-to-toe, I think that you have a little bit of maybe some questions about, but you largely, especially the way that he's played thus far, feel comfortable. But beyond that, you wanted to have some idea that you feel comfortable with some of these linebackers. Neville Hewitt was making a lot of plays.
He was in this game. He just consistently cannot be, you know, pushed out. He hadn't started in the NFL in 5 years.
Do you think it's a possibility he could get on the field more?
Oh yeah. I was just going to say
like
that.
Not special teams, but actually get on the field
more. Because there is opportunity. Like, you know, there's going to be opportunity. You know, Christian Harris, we'll see on him. We'll hear from D'Amico. Al-Shaair. Who knows on To'o? But Neville Hewitt, this dude has just carved out a nice little tidy 10-year NFL career. You know, or nine or whatever it is. This is going to be his 10th season. And just you keep waiting for someone to replace him and nobody does.
Yeah, and dudes that carve out that type of career, it's because they do the things that they have within their control well.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like this game was, right?
Yeah.
Filling the run in the ways that you're supposed to, reading and reacting. Like, he may not make a ton of explosive plays. That was probably one of the better ones, him getting into the backfield really on like kind of a stretch play.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, kind of horse collaring Boston Scott. But ultimately, just getting to the place that he needed to be to make a play. That's what you kind of need from a depth player, right? And he got to the place, he made the play. Shout out to Neville Hewitt for doing what he needed to do there.
Yeah, yeah. And the other one that we have on here as Who Hooped, I don't quite know what to make of this either. He's going to play somewhere in the NFL. He's going to be on some practice squad or some roster, and that's Cephas. Quintez Cephas. We've talked about him. I don't feel like he's going to be on this squad, but he's done enough. He's done enough to show that he deserves to be on a roster somewhere.
Yeah, I thought in this game he and him, I think Johnny Johnson as well. Like some of the depth wide receivers.
Yeah.
Again, pointing to the idea that you've got a really fun wide receiver room. Some of these guys just made solid catches. Right.
Yeah.
Just. Word where they needed to be. Cephas used his body pretty well to shield the football, although there was a couple of times where the defensive back might have kind of gotten through him, knocked the ball down, but like shielded the body pretty well, went up, made a catch. I think there was one point where he used his verticality to go make a catch, and it feels like, yeah, you're right. He'll be somewhere in this league getting a check, whether it's like, hey, the Texans try and slide him onto the practice squad, or if someone looks around, I think he can be useful to a team, and he has been useful to teams in his past. I think that continued through.
Who didn't hoop?
Was there? For one, can you give me a highlight number one on the sheet? Because it happened very early
it
on,
did.
And my reaction was, what are we doing right now?
Ethan Evans, the punter, unloads. Dez King back deep for the Houston Texans and drops the ball. It's loose. The Rams fall on it. They've got it inside the 15-yard line. No sunshine to blame that on. And the Rams have the ball in the red zone.
He was just running before he fielded the ball, and it's going to be a big turnover. Pretty much, if the Rams hold on to it, it'll lead to points at least three.
And the he that's talking about there, Desmond King played some cornerback, that nickelback or whatever in the slot during the course of this game. And that defense was there, but I don't know what to do with Desmond King. And this game was not necessarily like a glowing review of King's talents.
No, I'm not feeling Desmond King. And we've both been fans of his, Figgy. Yeah. I just am not feeling
it. They actually brought him back last season.
They brought him back
last year.
Because
they cut him. I didn't understand why they cut him.
Yeah.
And they eventually brought him back.
Isn't this also kind of rich people's problem kind of thing? Like on a team going in like last year or the year before, Des King could be integral. But on a squad like this, he could fall by the wayside.
Sure. Although, I still think with cornerback, I've got questions beyond your starters. Like, I do wonder how solid you feel about some of these other guys stepping in. But, yeah, I mean, if you feel like last year you would have had to start Desmond King, so that's definitely different. But, I don't know that he's been inherently bad. I personally can't recall.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that I've seen like the great flashes in this game.
Exactly.
I don't think that there were great flashes either. I know at one point he had to play a little safety because you had a couple of guys go down with injury. I know Hill left with injury amongst others. But he was there. He did basically what was required of him. But I didn't see anything particularly great. And this feels like one of those games where you want to do some pretty good things.
You got one more that didn't hoop?
I think so. Harrison, fullback.
Troy Harrison,
especially because of this, in this context. It's clear that the Texans are searching for something to fill the gap in fullback. I don't know if that is to the fullest extent of, hey, we want to replace the fullback. Do we have any takers to replace Beck entirely? Or is it just, we know Beck is going to start on the injured reserve or the physically unable to perform list. And so for the time that he is not there, we need to have a solution.
Yeah.
But for a guy who, as his trade, is fullback, I thought Hairston was not incredible. Like, I think.
No, I agree.
Like, there was a one point, I think it was the Cam Akers cutback that was happening. Mm-hmm. You had the tight end that had a block up on the right side towards where the direction was happening. Hairston goes and tags that guy, and I'm like, there's people up ahead. That guy's blocked up. Now, if you want to go up to the next level, pick up a linebacker, right? Yeah. If you can get up to a safety, right? And now you can create even more space and make that play bigger, in theory, just when you're blocking. And that's the type of thing that maybe I would expect to see from British Brooks or Kate Stover, that's, you know, kind of just existing in the fullback role, but not a fullback. You as a fullback, I anticipated a little bit more vision and understanding.
It's
of
your job
happening.
Description.
And it felt like, I feel like I have not seen anything so special in this game as well. Did not see anything particularly special from Hairston. I think he also dropped a pass out of the backfield, but hey, it happens like that when you're throwing to a fullback. But I was hoping to see more from him, especially with the opening and the opportunity when it comes to fullback with this team.
It's going
to
be one of the more fascinating things that we're going to tell you about as we get the information today and tomorrow, because I also don't know what exactly they have planned at fullback. I fully expect no fullbacks other than guys who can play that position like Cade Stover or Brevin Jordan or something until they make a decision on Andrew Beck. So I'm with you. I don't think Troy Hairston is going to be around.
Was there anything else notable when it came to this game that you were like, hey, someone else I needed to salute? I don't know if I fully wanted to go like just didn't hoop, but Case Keenum, he had Mechie running free on one of these early plays, and he just threw it right to the linebacker. Thankfully, it was not caught.
Yeah.
But when it comes to that third quarterback, who I think they carry two anyways.
Yeah.
It'll probably still be Case Keenum just because he knows the system, but I don't know that I love the idea that if you had to go and get Case Keenum in the game.
No, I think we can lay to rest. Who are they going to go with if they need to start a backup? I think it's going to be Davis Mills. Case Keenum, I mean, let's just be honest.
I think he's a good QB on the sideline.
He didn't look
and stuff
good.
Like that.
He didn't play well.
Yeah, and he left a little early because a little sore, I guess.
Yeah, so yeah, I think he's going to be the third quarterback or the third quarterback on the practice squad. You know, somebody that you can call up, and there's no shame in that, man. I mean, that's where he is right now.
Yeah, physically, I've been wondering, like, is the arm still in the place that it needs to be? Like, are we seeing the twilights of that career to where maybe he turns this into a coaching career and he takes the next step in whatever football means to him, or, you know, life in general means to him? But there you go. Some of the folks who hooped, and maybe some of the folks who didn't hoop. And what was the final preseason game for your Texans? 17-15 was the victory over the Rams, but more importantly, it sets the stage for what is to come tomorrow. The cut down to 53-man roster. We're already getting some cuts. Mm-hmm. Did I mention McTelvin Ugim?
Mm-hmm.
He was cut as well. So now we have at least two cuts that have happened when it comes to these Texans. Again, not any of the guys on none of the guys on the fringes just yet. But we're working our way. We have two cuts down, and so
we said goodbye to McTelvin again today.
Yeah.
Who?
Anyways.
McTelvin.
All due respect to that man. There you go. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including Anthony Edwards talking spicy to a great. We'll do that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.